I'm not running for president in 2020.
I'm not running for president.
I'm not running for president.
So nope.
I am not running for president in 2020.
I am not running for president of the United States.
I stand here today to declare that I am a candidate for president of the United States.
You're saying you will not get out of the race and you will not run for president. You will serve your 6 years.
I will serve my 6 year term.
I'm filing an exploratory committee for President of the United States tonight.
Congressman, can you say definitively that no matter what happens tomorrow, you will not be a candidate for president in 2020?
I will not be a candidate for president in 2020.
Thanks.
That's, I think, as definitive as those sentences get.
Amy and I are happy to share with you that I'm running to serve you as the next president of the United States of America.
I'm not running, but I'm going to keep working and speaking and standing up for what I believe. Malcolm Alice here. I am not running for president or Senate, but I am going to be delivering you some fresh nightshade that you can vote on. Our top story today. Jacob Wall, who has been on this show, called in. Things are getting really weird with him, and they've been weird before. Before this all started, he appeared to have filed a false report to Minnesota police claiming he had received death threats from a Twitter user named Drake Holmes, no relation to Carlos Danger. Now, according to the Daily Beast, Drake Holmes was fake, and Wall is the one who created this account, which reminds me of when he said, even on the show, he said, I'm going to create fake accounts to fuck with the Democratic primary process. That's my right as an American. He said this explicitly. If you're noticing my color, it's because I was just a fox, and I left the paint on, and it looks Oompa Loompa-y. It looks good there, and I want to see how it look here, and I don't like it. The end. Wall, along with Laura Loomer, who has been a guest on this show and on You're Welcome, and Ali Alexander, at Ali on Twitter, had released an online documentary called Importing Ilhan earlier this week. They went to Minneapolis to see if they can verify the idea that Ilhan Omar, whose district includes the city, married her brother. Now, part of the documentary, which was filmed in late February before Jacob was banned from Twitter, Wall went to a local police department to file a report against what he said were death threats. Now, in the scene where they filed the report and described the threats, the footage includes screenshots from an account that appears to be from Drake Holmes, or at Drake Holmes 612. Let's get this straight. Footage is filmed, then Jacob is banned from Twitter, okay? Now, this account, which is now deleted, was describing itself as a Minneapolis-based diversity coordinator, and Wall, in live streams, had referenced threats in some Periscope live streams. Now, it says, here's the picture of the first one. It says, I hope you fucking know that if I bump into you in Dinkytown, I didn't think Dinkytown is a real thing. I was looking at books from the Harlem Renaissance, and there's a store in Dinkytown that had all these like rare books, and I thought that was a nickname for the store. Okay. I want you to fucking know, how do they make the font look like that with the black boxes? That's pretty cool. I hope you fucking know that if I bump into you in Dinkytown or anywhere else in my city, I'm going to shoot you and shit, I'm guessing, on your fucking bodies. Get the fuck out my city, you piece of shit. Now, however, according to both NBC News and the Daily Beast, that Drake Holmes 612 account is fake. A copy of the police report obtained by NBC News showed that the messages from that account were included in Jacob Wall's report. Now, the guy in those photos is named Aaron Delgado. Show me that. What's that second picture we had? We had another one, right? So, yeah, that's him, the guy in the pictures. So his name is Aaron Delgado, and he's considering hiring an attorney. He goes, my face was making national news for all the wrong reasons. I have no idea how any of this happened. So that's the thing. They filed a report. He's kicked off Twitter. part of the reason he kicked off Twitter is because he bragged to USA Today that he's making fake reports, fake accounts. And then someone put two and two together, goes, wait a minute, let's check out this account that he included is real as well. And apparently it is not. So I don't know what the concept. And oh, here's what else is funny. Elizabeth Spires, who I really, really admire for her past work, she was tweeting out that, you know, all the conservatives who are losing their minds over Jussie Smollett, none of them are saying shit about Jacob Ball. And she was getting nuked on Twitter. Elizabeth Spires, for those of you who don't know, she was founding editor of Gawker when it was much nicer than it became. She was the head of The Observer before I came on board. She started the legal blog. I forget what it's called. So she's had her finger in a lot of pots. This woman is a major, major internet innovator. And she was just getting slammed. And everyone's like, we all clown him on a daily basis. What are you talking about? We think he's a laughingstock. And there were receipts. JTLOL was just hitting her with, like, here's one. Boom, 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 boom. Let me know when you want me to stop. So I'll be following this story. And apparently, I have not verified this myself. This was a tweet someone, so this is like kind of secondhand. Someone said Ali was doing a live stream and said that Jacob has sociopathic tendencies and that Ali fell for a scam. So I don't know if that's accurate, but that is what someone reported on Twitter. So that bears kind of something to keep in mind. Now, if you guys have watched this week's episode of You're Welcome, I highly recommend it because my guest this week was Gavin McInnes's lawyer, Ron Coleman. Gavin, who, of course, sat in this very chair before leaving to go to CRTV and before his show left CRTV. Now, Ron Coleman laid out his whole lawsuit against the SPLC, why Gavin is in a legal position to do it. I asked him all the hard questions. I play devil's advocate. Well, isn't Gavin a public figure? I mean, don't they have a right to, you know, put their point of view, blah, blah, blah. And he just really, you know, he didn't take on a case just for the sake of taking on a case. He goes, no. This isn't just like, you know, saying, Gavin's a jerk. He's a public figure. You could say that whatever you want. He goes, no. This is really, really bad. And the knife has started to be twisted. Today, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC. What? Okay, that was pretty good. Good one. I like that. But you should have it say SPLC.
Yeah, my Photoshop skills aren't that on.
No. You could just have the caption on top of it. It would be blocking it. They fired Morris Dees, who was the co-founder and former chief litigator, fired. Now, you guys know this. The guy's 82, and he co-founded the group in 1971. Here's the thing. When you're dealing with someone who's 82, and there's drama, and if it's anything at all, you let them retire. You let them say, oh, we're parting ways. Thank you. There you go. Thank you for his service, so on and so forth. No. This is them publicly making it a point to disavow him and distance themselves from him. I bet you it does not have to do with the Gavin stuff, but this is a big, big deal that they're making it a point to distance themselves from the co-founder. Now, the president of the SPLC, Richard Cohen, said in a statement that his dismissal was effective yesterday. He goes, as a civil rights organization, the SPLC is committed to ensuring that the conduct of our staff, listen to this corporate passive-aggressive talk, reflects the mission of the organization and the values we hope to instill in the world. When one of our own fails to meet those standards, no matter his or her role in the organization, we take it seriously and must take appropriate action. Today, we announced a number of immediate concrete steps we're taking, including bringing in an outside organization to conduct a comprehensive assessment of our internal climate and workplace practices to ensure that our talented staff is working in the environment they deserve, one in which all voices are heard and all staff members are represented. So this is either a racism thing or a Me Too thing. Because if it was about Gavin, in my opinion, my uninformed opinion, I'm not an attorney, they wouldn't be having this because then there's culpability. Because he was working there. He was representing them when shit went down. This is them saying, no. He's the bad guy. We're not responsible, which ties in much more to something like a Me Too situation. His biography was pulled from their website. Now, a 1994 Montgomery Advertiser series provided a deep look into the organization, which was controlled by Deese, who's a multimillionaire, and illustrated his near-singular control over the organization and its huge budget. It revealed a figure seen as heroic by some, yeah, bullshit, as more focused on raising money than fighting injustice. This is what Ron said on my show. He said, they are clearly, I said, are they evil? Or are they cynical con artists? He goes, there is very clearly, and we're going to demonstrate this legally, and I'm paraphrasing him. I don't want to put words in his mouth, especially in legal context. He said, showing that they're doing this for the money, that this is not really a principal position. The series also alleged discriminatory treatment of black employees within the group, despite its outward efforts to improve the treatment of minorities in the country. Staffers at the time accused Deese of being a racist, and black employees have felt threatened and banded together. The organization denied those accusations. Now, his central role in the organization has also led to numerous threats against him, and the advertiser previously reported that he has 24-hour protection at his home. Over the years, they've amassed a massive war chest of funds from donors amid differing levels of scrutiny. The nonprofit has hundreds of employees, offices in four states, and nearly, ready for this? Southern Poverty Law Center is not poor. They have assets, net assets, of nearly $450 million at the end of 2017, according to the most recently available public tax documents. Now, I don't care how much money, Gavin's wealthy. If you've got an organization with $450 million and they decide they're going to destroy you, it's not going to be fun. No matter who they are. Think how much advertising that could buy or whatever, or how much contacts you must have with reporters. In recent years, they've become nationally known and scrutinized for their so-called hate watch work, tracking the rise of so-called hate groups. It produces research and advocacy work on a variety of topics, including payday lending, blah, blah, blah. They also continue civil rights litigation, including an ongoing lawsuit to address prison conditions in Alabama. The SPLC is deeply committed to having a workplace that reflects the values it espouses, truth, justice, equity, and inclusion, and we believe the steps we have taken today reaffirm that commitment. So I'm sure Ron and Gavin are watching this very carefully, as will I, and this is very, very intriguing stuff to look forward to in the near future. Next, great news out of Kentucky. Really, 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 really great news. Kentucky. Good work. Kentucky is the latest state to adopt a permitless gun carry system. Republican Governor Matt Bevin signed Senate Bill 150 into law this past Monday. What does this mean? It means, by law, anyone who's over 21 can legally carry a concealed firearm on their person so long as they're legally allowed to possess a firearm under state and federal law. It eliminates their previous permit system, as well as the training requirements and fees associated with it. Do you know, I gotta tell you, I'm a gun nut, not in terms of like I love guns, in terms of gun rights. I don't think a training requirement is that crazy. I mean, in terms of like gun, like, and I, obviously it's going to be a boondoggle and there's going to be these schools that are basically, they're just going to get a $100 check and whatever. I get it. But like, this is really one of those things where like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But then I'm very uninformed in this issue, so it could be, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But in terms of gun regulation, this might be the one where I'm the most by far comfortable with. Now, Kentucky, that makes it the 16th state to adopt permitless carry, which is often called constitutional carry, and the third to do so just this year. South Dakota adopted it at the end of January, and Oklahoma did so at the end of February. By the way, there's this GIF I've seen online of gun rights, because it's a state-by-state issue, going from, you know, nothing to can issue to must issue to, you know, also, and the map just changed, I think, from 1980 to like 2018. It just like goes from like zero states to like 49. It's something crazy and wonderful. Now, Kentucky's Senate passed their permitless carry bill by a vote of 29-8. And the Kentucky House passed it 60-37. These were not close votes. Governor Bevin said the law recognizes, it only recognizes, constitutionally protected rights, in his opinion. He goes, it recognizes the second, you better recognize, the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. That's it. It doesn't break new grounds. New ground. I'm a concealed carry gun owner, and so are many in Kentucky. Now you will not need to go through a process and get a license and permission in order to have your Second Amendment right. By the way, this also means that there's no database of who's having these guns, which is or having licenses. So that's useful. Now, gun control activists disputed the governor's assertion, saying the new system could be a safety risk. This is not a constitutional issue. This is a safety risk, Connie Courtney said, who's the Kentucky state chapter lead for Moms Demand Action. I'm so glad that that group came up. Moms Demand Action might be the stupidest name for any organization because it sounds like a MILF porno.
I think I've seen that one.
Right. It's like if I go, hey, if you hear Moms Demand Action, first of all, you're not thinking guns. It could be drugs. It could be, you know what this, I mean, if you ask me, okay, if I didn't know about this, what organization is called Moms Demand Action? I would think it's about keeping my kids safe in school, but not in a gun context, in terms of like smaller class sizes, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's just, and the idea that like only kids, I don't think kids are the majority of people who are getting shot. I'm sure it's men. They go, this bill is dangerous. It puts everyone at greater risk. There's no need for it. Our current system is working. Oh, my God. Our current system is working, says the heads of Moms Demand Action. What the fuck are you demanding then? It wouldn't even be Moms Request Action. It would be moms are comfortable with inactivity. If our system is, I have never seen a gun control advocate. This is what gun control looks like in Kentucky. You know, you're a gun control advocate. What do you think we should do? You know, I think our current system is working. So, I don't know. Like, SPLC, I got nothing for it. Holy shit! Our current system is working. Amazing. Oh, my God, the shamelessness. Now, the NRA cheered the governor signing the bill into law and described it as common sense. And on behalf of the NRA's 5 million members, we'd like to thank Governor Bevin for his leadership in this critical issue. This is from Chris Cox, who's the executive director of the NRA's Institute for Legislative Action. He goes, this law is a common sense measure that allows law-abiding citizens to exercise their fundamental right of self-protection in the manner that best suits their needs. With 16 states currently employing some sort of permitless carry system, it is the second most popular way to regulate concealed carry in the country. 27 other states and D.C. employ what's commonly called a shall issue system, where those who pass background checks and other requirements are required by law to be issued concealed carry permits. The remaining eight states have what's called may issue, where those who pass the checks and meet the requirements can still be denied concealed carry by government officials. Wait until this shit gets to the Supreme Court and all this stuff's going to get knocked down. Watch. Especially when you have so many states where it's become normalized, it's very, very hard to argue against and say, oh, if we do this, bad things will happen, because then the argument is, but we are doing this like in 42 other states. So what you're arguing about doesn't happen. Therefore, the Constitution holds. So this is going to be very, very interesting to see what happens next month. And I got to tell you, if we get to the point where you get a gun in New York City, I will be very happy, and the people in the booth will be very headless.
I'm already afraid somebody's going to come in here shooting.
That's your karma. That's your karma. That's what happens when you do the Archer's March and you do this to the camera, challenging people. All right, we got a major defeat for the president today. So the Senate voted to block his emergency declaration over the southern border. The chamber passed the vote 59-41. 12 Republicans, worried about executive overreach, supported the bill in a huge blow to the president. He plans to reject the bill, which the Democratic-held House had already passed. In one tweet after the vote, he simply said veto. In a subsequent message, he said he looks forward to vetoing, all in caps, the just-passed Democrat-inspired resolution, and he thanked Republicans who voted to support border security and our desperately needed wall. Wall was all in caps. The veto would be his first. Neither chamber appears to have enough support to overcome President Trump's opposition, which would need a two-thirds majority vote. It's unclear if House leaders will push for a vote to override the veto, Representative Joaquin Castro, who's a Texas Democrat, told reporters today that he'll push for another vote, even though it'll make it very tough to reach a veto-proof majority. He called it a consequential constitutional vote. Trump publicly lobbied the GOP to support his declaration, and Republican lawmakers who voted to terminate Trump's action voiced concerns not only about presidents circumventing Congress's appropriations power, but also the prospect of Democratic administrations declaring emergencies on other topics in the future. Trump declared a national emergency at the border last month to divert $3.6 billion from military construction funds to build his proposed border wall. The move followed Trump's frustration with lawmakers' decision to allocate only $1.4 billion of the $5.7 billion he wanted for border barriers. With his expected veto, Congress will not stop the emergency declaration, but the administration still has to defend it in court. More than a dozen states and several of the groups have challenged the executive action. And Trump has repeatedly argued he has the authority to declare a national emergency. In recent days, he tried to frame it as a vote on whether to support his immigration policies, not on whether this is a vote on him overreaching his executive authority. I got to tell you, if this reaches the Supreme Court, which it almost certainly will, I don't see any way in hell they're going to side with the president. I mean, if there's anyone who's a stickler about the Constitution, it's first of all, the lefties aren't going to be for him, right? So then you have the five people who are conservatives, right of center. They're all going to be real sticklers for the Constitution. And the people, Republicans who voted against it not because they disagreed with the president in terms of his goals. They disagreed with him in terms of his methods. They thought this is not how the Constitution's set up. You know, you take the L. So I think it's going to be something like 9-0 against him. I mean, this is my prediction. I don't see how it's going to go another way. It's going to be very, very hard to make the case that the president can basically rule by fiat and just declare emergencies when things are bad. Because again, whatever, I've discussed this earlier on the show. Now, we've got a couple of videos to wrap up the week, and these are really, really funny. Earlier today, Beto O'Rourke announced his candidacy for president, and despite having served a couple of terms in the House, if that, President Trump had some unusual comments. Let's check this out.
Hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy or is that just the way he acts? So I've never seen hand movement. I watched him a little while this morning doing, I assume it was some kind of a news conference, and I've actually never seen anything quite like it. Study it. I'm sure you'll agree.
Pause it. Wait, go back. What was he wearing? Was that navy with a green pocket square? The fuck? Is this for St. Patrick's Day? That's navy, right?
Yeah, that hurts a little bit.
But it's weird. That is, I've never seen him wear those colors together. Maybe someone's visiting the White House from some country and he's wearing their colors. That's very odd.
Oh, it says President Trump meets with the Irish.
Oh, duh, no shit. Okay, fuck, thank you. Okay, I'm glad I caught that. I don't miss anything in this show. Here's what's interesting. And you know how a lot of times people on the left will talk about dog whistles and they know what the fuck they're talking about? There is something, and I know this because many of my friends are libertarians, there is something called stimming, and this is something that people with autism have. And what that means is they play with their hands a lot and they self-stimulate. They do things like this. So if you see like that, when growing up, maybe you had that weird kid in your class, for me it was Saul Blumenthal, and they often do repetitive motions. So it'll be like this, you know, and just every few minutes they'll do the same thing. That is a sign of autism. It's not clear why they do it. Whatever, it's harmless. Obviously, it's a tick. It's similar to ticks with people who have OCD. They have to have repetitive motion. Stephen Miller, whose Twitter handle is Red Steez, who's obviously one of the best follows, he just tweeted out something to the effect of, if President Trump just says Beto's on the spectrum, just watch the gates of hell come forward as people have meltdowns. But that is kind of what he seemed to be implying, and here's why I'm saying this. There's also been big rumors, which that Barron Trump is on the spectrum, has Asperger's or autism. Asperger's is no longer diagnosed as autism is. And many people were very offended. The first time Kristen Tate was on my show, she was here. We had an argument about whether Rosie O'Donnell saying that was attack on Barron. I don't think there's anything wrong with a kid having autism. And saying, oh, does Barron have it, would be like saying, oh, does he have diabetes? It's not his choice. Doesn't make him a worse person. It makes him a libertarian, and that's fine. But a lot of people were very offended that even if he had mental illness, I mean, if he was bipolar, it's not his choice. I mean, people struggle with these things all the time, and especially someone like that, that's not that big of a deal. But now that he's pointed that out, you can't not look, not see it. So earlier today was Beto's campaign. I don't know how to fucking pronounce his name. His campaign announcement, and watch his hands because they're flying all over the place. It's like a juggler with bowling pins.
I are happy to share with you that I'm running to serve you as the next president of the United States of America. This is a defining moment of truth for this country.
Here's the thing. He's an alpha guy in left-wing circles, right? He was almost a senator, elected in Congress. According to the game, huge crowds, people love him, rock star in this world. How come his wife isn't hotter? I mean, this is weird. You would think he'd have maybe she's got the money in the family.
I heard she was hot in high school, and he just stuck with her.
Someone who's hit the wall. This is someone who was not hot in high school. And, she doesn't – I mean, the makeup – I've got more makeup on than her. Literally. Okay. I notice he's getting all – look at him. He's like Elizabeth Warren colored. Hey, oh. Okay, play some more.
Every single one of us. The challenges that we face right now, the interconnected crises in our economy, our democracy, and our climate have never been greater.
You know
and
who
they
he talks
will either
like?
Consume us,
he talks
or they will afford
like
us
Ryan.
The greatest opportunity to
okay, can
unleash.
You, when I talk, just pause it. He talks like Ryan on The Office. Do you remember when Ryan came to New York? Can you find a clip of that, Ryan on The Office? He came to New York, and Ryan was talking about innovating, escalating, the website, da-da-da-da. And it was all these weird douchebag Wall Street frat bro hand motions. Which I'm sure Trump, being a New York real estate guy, has had more than a little bit familiarity with. And he's really – I've never seen him talk before, O'Rourke, and I was terrified because I knew it would be just a disgusting and obnoxious fuck. He's Barack Obama, for people there think 50% is too dark, basically. Do we find it? It doesn't matter if we haven't. Let's play more of this.
The genius of the United States of America. In other words, this moment of peril produces perhaps – the greatest moment of promise for this country.
And produces perhaps the greatest moment of promise for this country. You know, whoever the fuck was writing that speech, he goes, yo, I got this. Oh, I see what you did with those peas, man. It's fucking good. It's tight. And look, he's got the hand up.
He's very alliterate.
Yeah, yeah.
With his alliteration.
Yeah, yeah, we got the reference. Okay, you can hit play.
And for everyone inside of it.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
We can begin by fixing our democracy and ensuring that our government works for everyone. And not just for corporations. We can invest in the dignity of those
I know
who
what
work
it is.
And
I
those
know what
who
it is.
Seek to.
I know what it is. I'm Russian Jewish, grew up in an Italian neighborhood. White ethnics talk with their hands. So this fucker is trying to do everything he can to tell people he's not as white as Ivory Snow. So his name and the hand motions, he's trying to come off like maybe Italians kind of being like being black, kind of. Go ahead.
Work. We can ensure that every single American can see a doctor and be well enough to live to their full potential.
Look at the
and
wife.
All of us,
look at the wife.
Wherever you live,
I'm just
can acknowledge
at him.
That if immigration
no
is a problem, it's the best possible
English?
Problem
maybe
for this country.
Maybe he married someone who doesn't speak English, like Jeb Bush. Go ahead.
I think it's like standard to have your spouse just looking at you the whole time
no,
in
but
your Kennedy video.
The usual is she's nodding and like, yeah, oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
It's like a hype man in rap.
Right, it is though. I'm not joking. Like that's the mark of a good spouse when he says everyone should be able to see a doctor. Fuck yeah. I'm excited.
I'm surprised I don't have the kids behind him too doing like a dance.
Yeah, right, yeah. Go ahead.
To have. And we should ensure that there are lawful paths to work,
paths.
To be with family, and to flee persecution. We can listen to and lift up rural America.
Rural.
We can work on real justice reform and confront the hard truths of slavery, and segregation, and suppression in these
funny.
United States of America. We can reassert our global leadership and end these decades-long wars and be there for every woman and man who has served in them. And
oh,
perhaps
fuck.
Most
oh, important. Did you see that? Every woman and man who served in them. There's one thing war is about, it's putting women first. What a fucking Connor. Oh, what a transparent fucker. You know, here's the thing. If Beto was a Republican, there'd be all these blue checks tweeting out that he was clearly a date rapist in college. He's got that fucking douchebag, gets you drunk vibe. Look at, oh my God, he's such a tool. Oh, I don't have a suit. I don't even have a fucking tie. You know what? I'm unbuttoning this shirt. I'm just like you and me, baby. Oh my God. Okay, let's finish off this.
Importantly of all, because our very existence depends on it. We can unleash the ingenuity and creativity of millions of Americans who want to ensure that we squarely confront the challenge of climate change before it's too late. This is going to be a positive campaign that seeks to bring out the very best from every single one of us, that seeks to unite a very divided...
Listen, if there's one thing I'm positive is that this fucker's not going to get the nomination. And that they're... going to fucking eat him alive. The press, the only thing he had going for him, or by far the biggest thing, was the press. And they've already turned on him because he didn't deliver against Ted Cruz, who's like the most hated senator in the country on a personal level. So he's going to be terrible in debates. There's nothing interesting about him. Good Lord. Anyway, that's all for this week. I hope you I will be... Nope. Nothing of interest to report. I'm going to go wash my face now and wish you all some sweet dreams.